Okay, good morning. Back to Parshas Toldos. Five to go for Parshas Toldos, 5784. Ve'ela Toldos Yitzhak ben Avraham. Avraham holid as Yitzhak. These are the generations of Yitzhak, the son of Avraham. Avraham birthed, or was he begat, Yitzhak, as article says. Is there another Parsha that sounds very similar to the beginning of this one? Which Ela told us Noah. Noach ish tzadik tamim haya b'dorosav. Noach had shem v'cham v'yafes. That parsha is called Parshas Noach. Ela told us Yitzhak ben Abraham. Abraham holded it's Yitzhak. What should the parsha be called? Parshas Yitzhak. It's not called Parshas. Why is it called Parshas Toldos? And if it's called Parshas Toldos, then Parshas Noach should also be called Parshas Toldos. There seems to be an inconsistency in the way we refer to the Parsha. Okay, and some of you are going to say, what a big deal. Like, who really gave the name to the Parsha? Some are given by Midrashim. Some are given by Rishonim. Okay, so it's not divine. But is there a lesson to be learned in the name that is given to the parsha? Honey, what do you think?
I think that with Noah, he was the protagonist of the whole thing. Hey, Yitzchak is not the main character. He starts it out.
Yitzchak.
The big thing is at the end of Vayikra.
So, honey is saying that throughout, I would say, 85% of the parsha is really all about Noah. It's Noah is the star of the. No, the main actor in Parshas, in his Parsha. Yitzchak is not necessarily the main actor. He's probably mentioned in every single scene. But the personality of Yitzchak, I think that's what you mean, right? The personality of Yitzchak is not the same as Noah. Noah was the person in front of the room, right? So to speak, getting people on and in charge. Yitzchak's personality is such that he plays more of a passive role in everything, right? And there's proofs to this. That maybe the most seminal moment in his life is the Akedah. And what was his role in the Akedah? He was bound, right? That was his role in the Akedah. When Yitzchak goes to find a wife, he doesn't go to find the wife. Somebody else does it for him. And even when he blesses his children at the end of his life, he doesn't really do it. His wife pulls the strings from behind the scenes. So you can say that this really speaks to the personalities of the people we are speaking to. Noach is more of a frontal leader. And Yitzchak is very much behind the scenes in terms of what he does.
Rabbi.
A better wine. Sorry.
Hirshon's two cents. The words Noach versus Toldos are very consistent with Noach wasn't Avram because he didn't give it to children.
Yeah. Oh, okay, very good. So Jay and I are on the same page. Okay. Jay, so Rabbi Berra Wein in this is from 2012, points this out. He points out this question and he says the following. There's a big difference here. They both had toldos. They both had subsequent generations after them. But there was one big difference between a Noach, that we can't blame him for, and a Yitzchak. Noach didn't have a Mesorah. Noach didn't have anyone to learn from in the previous generations. He maybe had a relationship with Metushelach, but there was no Mesorah yet crystallized in the world how to behave. In the world itself, had to interact with people that are very difficult. V'chulei, v'chulei. Yitzchak, the reason why the parsha is called Yitzchak is because Yitzchak is now part of the continuity of Am Yisrael. It's not, so Noach is the beginning of his progeny that go below him. Yitzchak is now one link in a chain. He is the first Jew to be, we call an FFB. right? He's from birth. Right? Avram was a BT. But very, very different. So Ela told us Yitzchak, Avraham, holiness Yitzchak, is highlighting the point, even in the name of the Parsha, that he is now a second generation Jew, and he's part of a chain of Mesorah, which really speaks to a different approach to what Honey just pointed out, which is from Rabbi Soloveitchik. Rabbi Soloveitchik points out what is unique about Yitzchak. If you look at all of Yitzchak's life, he does nothing, right? Anything he really does is really done for him. And even the things that he does, what is the main thing that he actually does on his own?
Yes.
The wells. The wells. Even asking to be bound is in the Medrash. It's not in the Pesukim. The wells. He digs wells. Whose wells? What did I miss? Oh, the chair. Oh.
Rabbi.
I'm listening to the recording. I just leaned back in my chair and all the... I was accosted. Okay, I'm okay though.
Rabbi.
So, yes, Nathan.
And yet the Torah says that when Esav was born, Yitzhak and Rivka named him. But when Yaakov was born, only Yitzhak named him. So he still looked like he was pretty aggressive in that situation.
It's actually not even clear who named. Okay, maybe we'll get to that soon, Nathan. Thank you.
All right.
So Rabbi Soloveitchik says, what does Yitzhak represent? Avraham was super creative. Avraham was dynamic, very charismatic. Yaakov led the Jewish people to go from a startup, to use a business term, to he scaled the Jewish people into a huge, religion. It's unbelievable. 70 people, Shiv and Nefesh, Yardim Mitzrayim. They became 600,000. That was Yaakov. What was Yitzchak? Continuity. You need people to pass the Mesorah down. And not to add in their two cents, let me change this, let me do this, which there's a Yetzirah to do. Yitzchak, his greatness was that he was able to pass down exactly what Avram said and to follow through with it. We're going to learn some Torah from the Mechamas Yehuda, who's a Holocaust survivor, of Yehuda Lubart. And he writes that that the symbolism of Avraham, of Yitzchak making the same wells and then giving them the same names, he sees as like symbolism, because you go into a new country, you want to start your own thing, you want to give the same old names as the previous generations, and there's a taiva, right? There's a desire. Let's create new names. Let's create different names. Ones that people can like relate to in here. He says, no, we're not going to do that. We're going to keep the same name, even the same names as my father. Right? The names of the wells. So Rabbi Soloveitchik says that is the beauty, the challenge, and what Yitzchak really represents in terms of the continuity of Am Yisrael. Being the second of the Avos means that we didn't need him to be creative. We needed him just to continue things forward on the trajectory that Avram set them out on. And Yitzchak, we need you to continue that continuity of Am Yisrael.
Rabbi.
Yeah.
Could Abraham's following end with Abraham? Is Yitzchak in his continuity?
It is not clear. It actually doesn't seem at all that Yitzchak is Makarev individuals. He does not do that. He focuses much more on the home. Yitzchak doesn't leave Eretz Yisrael. If you want to be a Makarev, you have to like move around a little bit. Yitzchak really does not move around. He does move around, but not as much as the other of us, Yaakov and Avraham. Not at all. Really, very, very different fundamentally in terms of their relationship. Okay. Let's continue on. So, yeah, there we go. So Rivka, after how many years did it take them to have children?
20 years.
The Yetzar Yitzhak Lashem Lenochach Ishno. They're davening Yitzhak and Rivka on opposite sides of the room. Ki akarahi. Vayeasar lo Hashem v'tahar Rivka Ishno. Shatova, finally after 20 years, she's pregnant. Vayitzrotesu habanim bekirba. She is, by the way, the Torah heads it off. That this, the children of Vayitzrotesu in her bekirba, in her womb. Vayitzrotesu means that they're running. Two languages in Rashi. Either rats, means they were running out. They wanted to get out when they went to different locations. Avodah Zarah or to Bate Knesios. What that means, Bate Knesios. What shuls do they have around that? Okay, but that's what it means. War means miritza, means they fought. They fought in the womb. They're already fighting even then. Habanim. We know, the one that's learning the Chumash knows already, twins, right? She doesn't know this yet. Vatomer, she says, Imkain, Lama ze anochi. Imkain, Lama ze anochi. What does that mean? Imkain, Lama ze anochi. If so, why me? Simply put, she's questioning. This is what I wanted my entire life, to be pregnant. It's a mess. This is so difficult. I can't sleep at all. They're constantly moving around. That's not what I signed up for. But there's a deeper message here mentioned by Rabbi Gamliel, Rabbi Navinchi. So right after she says this statement, Imkein Lama Zeh Anochi, Vatelech Lidros Es Hashem, she goes to seek out Hashem. Where does she go? Yeshiva, Rashi writes, she went to Yeshiva Shem Ve'ever to speak to the Gadol Hador. The Ramban disagrees. The Ramban writes, that's not what she did. Vatelech Lidros Es Hashem, if you didn't learn Rashi when you were in second grade on this pasuk, what would you say this means? She went to talk to God, meaning went to daven. She had a crisis, right? Just to add in the medrash, there's a crisis of faith here. One child, the same child in her mind, she's walking by a mizbeach that Avram built, jumping out. They're walking by a base of Avodah Zarah, jumping out. Something's very wrong here. What do you do when something is very wrong? Where do you go? Two options. Rashi says, I go to my rabbinic figures. I go to leadership. I go to my mentors. I go and speak to them to get chizuk from them. Perspective, emuna. And Ramban says, no. Ramban textually says it's not accurate. A telech lidros Hashem means daven. So two different ways to address a crisis. What do you do in a situation like that? Andy?
According to Rashi, right? Who would you say is the closest person to God that Rivka knows? With
right.
Your own husband, is this another communication breakdown between Rivka and Yitzchak again, which I think is throughout the whole parsha?
Okay, so
they don't communicate.
They're not communicating. Okay, so let's see. Let's see if that's what is going on. See, I would have added something different. I would have asked a different question. Who should she have gone to? Avram. Here, I can appreciate why she didn't go to her husband right away. He's no gay abadavar. Why do I need to alarm my husband about this right now? Like, let him be. And, you know, God forbid, a woman has some issue like this. Maybe she doesn't want to include her husband until they know that it is a real issue. I don't want to be an alarmist. So why didn't she go to Avraham? Why is she? Avraham's the Gadol Hador. Shem Ve'ever are wonderful people. Why did she go to Shem Ve'ever and not to Avraham Avinu? Oh, What do you guys think? This question was asked by Rabbi Kamenetsky. This is the following. He says, somebody, I didn't realize this is going to be on the newspaper. Someone asked me a question last week on Facebook. On Facebook Messenger, which I never check. He said, what yeshiva would you want to be a part of if you go back in history? So my immediate reaction was, Yeshiva Shem Ve'ever. I want to learn with the Avos. Okay, so it made, it was in some random newspaper. So what's the difference? Shem Ve'ever versus Avram Avinu. Rav Yaakov says they have different mesoras. Avraham lived mostly a very pure life. His Mesorah was very positive, and his Mesorah, he calls it like his Mesorah Sa'avos. The Torah, Yirat Shemayim, Emunah, Torah Mitzvos, Connection to Hashem, Tzedaka, Chesed, it's one Mesorah. Shem Ve'ever lived at a time with very horrible people. By the time Avraham was born, most of the people were gone. He had a few leftovers. He had Nimrod. He had certain people. But they lived with a whole Dor HaMaba. They lived with a whole Dor HaFlaga. Yet, these few individuals remain unscathed. And in fact, started yeshiva. You can argue they grew, even in this situation, and developed a very strong relationship with Hashem. Their Mesorah is a different type of Mesorah. This is a Mesorah. How do you engage in the world itself? You may not necessarily need, if you want to go into politics 2023, of course you need the Mesorah of Avraham Avinu, but you also need the Mesorah of Shem Ve'ever. If you don't get that, then you're not going to survive. Because you have to be coy, you have to be clever, you have to understand when someone's saying something, that there's a subtext and a context, and what they're saying is probably not really what they mean. And that's a Mesorah of Shem Ve'ever. Rivka Imenu saw Avodah Zarah and Beis HaKnesses. This is confusing. The person for this answer is not Avraham. The person that can give me an answer to this question is Shem Ve'ever. They've navigated through situations like this in their life, and this is the right person. You do see from there is that when you have a crisis of faith, there are different people to go to. Just like you have an expert in Hilchos Shabbos, you have an expert in, sub-expert in Hilchos Irvin, and expert in Hilchos Mikvos. Some people are experts in everything, and others are experts in certain areas more than others. Here you have an expert in the world, right? In just dealing with everybody, and the schmutz maybe that is included in that. Therefore, Shidavka went to Yeshiva Shem Ve'ever, and not to Avraham Avinu. What?
I said, based on that logic.
Yeah.
I'd say, it's just like a...
Yeah.
Tongue in cheek, that a person that's a rabbi, that to take away anything from anybody in this room teaches, if someone who's a Belch, who probably ate a cheeseburger before, and he knows how to relate to things like that. He talks to the boys and girls.
That's a very important thing. It's very important.
Yeah, you can
yeah. Sure. 100%. Also, the students that weren't great students make the great rebbeim.
Yeah.
And teachers, yeah.
So that's a sheepish shame. I can't fact.
Yeah.
First question is it mentioned in the Torah or is this
Torah? It's so. Milti asked about Yeshiva Shem Ve'ever, where does it come from? It does not, it's not mentioned once in the Torah. There's a Mesorah. There's a Mesorah that it existed.
How could it have
yeah.
existed if Avraham was the first?
Right. You're asking a different question. Here's a good one.
What did they teach? I can get the answer to that.
Right.
What did they teach them?
So, right, so... Yeah, so you're asking that they came before Avraham. I would say I'm gonna ask your question a different way. What did they do? If Avraham was the first monotheist, then what are these guys doing? So I'm gonna add the following. Avraham was not the first monotheist. That is not accurate. Avraham was not the first monotheist. Adam believed in one God, Cain and Hevel believed in one God, Noach believed in one God. So did Shem Ve'ever. And probably Shem Chum V'Yefes. maybe not their whole life, I don't know, but they believed in one God. So Avraham comes on the scene. What makes Avraham Avraham? That we are his children and not the children of Shem Ve'Avraham. So Rabbi Kiva Tatz was first a doctor in South Africa, eventually became Baal Tshuva. He was an amazing teacher. He has a book called Letters to a Buddhist Jew. Buddhist Jew. It's an excellent book. They reprinted it in the past few years. You want a good Shabbos Friday night reading? It's really great. It goes back and forth. This guy's writing letters to Rabbi Tatz. He thinks, and he posits in the beginning of the book, that I can be a Jew and be a Buddhist. And he has all these questions, and he asks him, and they write back and forth. And the whole book is all the letters. Kishmo Kenu, Letters to a Buddhist Jew. And in there, he has a very beautiful insight, where he asks his question, what's Shiva Aver, what's all these things? Like, he says, Shiva Aver is like the monks that live in the Himalayas. They found God. They experienced God. I'm not saying that the monks experienced God. I'm not saying equating it that way. But for them, religion is just for themselves. They don't care to include other people. They don't care to teach to other people. Yeshiva Shem Ve'Aver didn't seek people out. If people found them, good. We'll take you in. Avraham, what was the greatness of Avraham? He and Sarah, they connected with other people. They wanted to get the whole world to see Hashem. And they did it not through missionizing. They did it through love. And they did it through an open home. And they did it through a nice, you know, hot bowl of cholent and kugel. And that's how they brought people into their home. And that's how they changed lives. They wanted to interact with people. And through people, they helped them connect to Hashem. Yeshiva Shem Ve'Aver was not that way. They were just out there, and you found them if you needed to hide. Yaakov, into the parsha, for 14 years, he needs to hide. Where does he go? Yeshiva Shem Ve'Aver. They knew. Correct. I'll tell you something amazing. Yeah. I had all these different work prepared, but we're doing a great job. So this is great. So we were at the rally. At the end of the rally, we all, because we didn't take a bus in the end, this is Hashkacha Pratis, we wanted to stay. Yishai Rivo and Omer Adams sang at the end. It was like a concert. So we got to stay, and we didn't feel that pressure, and we got home before them anyway, and we didn't feel that pressure to run out. And it was very, very beautiful. Very, very beautiful. And we were at the back of the concert, the back of the rally at that time. And there was three Chabad stations set up with us filling. So Josh Lipschitz and I were together, only two men, I think, in this group. I live in the women's section in general. It's my life. And so we started singing Kumzit style with the Chabad guys who were putting on film the whole day. It was close to Shkia anyway. Their job was finished for the day. And that morning, I kept joking, we didn't put tefillin on with the bracha. When we started that morning, it was 5:30 a.m. I'm like, come on, we can put on tefillin right now with the bracha. We made the bracha later, right? So I asked them, this is amazing, I asked them, how many karkaftas did you get today? Anyone know what a karkafta is? Karkafta. Has anyone heard that term, karkafta? No, because you're not Chabad. So a karkafta is a term in the Gemara. The Gemara says, labels somebody that doesn't put on tefillin. Karkafta means a skull. Karkafta the lo manach tefillin. Somebody that didn't put on tefillin is just a skull. Right? If you never put on tefillin your entire life, there's something empty. So when the holy grail of Chabad Chassid is getting karkaftas, and you almost like collect them. How many karkaftas you got in your life? 5, 2. That's so easy to do it. I asked them that day, how many karkaftas did you get? How many Jews put on tefillin for the first time in their life? That's a rabbi. Over 100. Over 100. Unbelievable. One, I asked one booth. There was three booths. They were different sizes, but wasn't so big. There's like four or five pairs of tefillin there. There was one guy, I don't think he was wearing a shirt. It's so warm outside. He was putting on tefillin right there. It's amazing. It's amazing. 100 people. Unbelievable. It's unbelievable.
Rabbi. So the obvious question, Benos Avraham, that's not Almasora.
What do you mean?
We don't proactively Megayer people or anything.
We're not Megayer, but we do. Okay, you're right. Avraham is educating people about monotheism. The truth is, Lubavitcher Rebbe is very into teaching people Sheva Mitzvah Noach towards the end of his life. That was something he felt very strongly about. He signed a letter. He wanted people to talk about God in public schools. We thought that was very, very important. But today, we're not Megayer people at the rally. We are Mechazek Aron. So, I quoted this whole pasuk to teach you the following thought. Im kein lama ze anochi. Lama ze anochi. What does that mean, lama ze anochi? Says Rabbi Galil Rabinovich. He is a Mekubal in Eretz Yisrael. His Sfarim here that we learn together are not Kabbalistic at all. They're just so, so beautiful. Lama ze anochi. Where do we know the word Anochi from? Anochi Hashem. The Aseret HaDibros. He reads the pasuk the following way, B'derech Remes. Rivka was going through a lot of pain. D'imafriya lahadavar. Simen avura she'enena shlema ba'anochi. She knew the right thing was to have children. That was right one of her roles for Yitzchak and Rivka to pass on, have the next generation. She was very bothered by it and saying, "Why am I doing this? This is not worth it. I'm making a mistake. It's not worth it." And she realized, "Lama ze anochi? Lama ze anochi? I need to work on my anochi Hashem Elokecha, on my emuna." If I'm questioning things that I am doing that we know are for Hashem, then what I need to do right now is work at my emunah. I see in myself a lacking of that. But Telech Lidros Es Hashem, she goes to the Beis Medrash. Why? To strengthen her emunah. To work on her relationship with the Ribono Sheolam at time. That's what he says is going on here. That's what she was struggling in. Sometimes we do things that intellectually we know are right, but emotionally are very hard. At times like that, we need to strengthen our emunah. And what she does is, Batelech Lidros Es Hashem, she goes to seek out Hashem. At times of challenge, at times of struggle, we discuss Rashi, Ramban, davening, or seeking out Rabbanim, seeking out mentors and leaders that can help us with perspective. She was doing this for herself to strengthen her emuna in Hashem. We are going through a very difficult time in Am Yisrael. 240 men, women, and children are not yet home. We have to strengthen our emuna. Our emuna. And I found, for me, one of the most effective ways is the following. Rav Yisrael Meir Lau, I heard this from him, Goldwicht quoted this from him once, many, many years ago. He say in Halal, he said it a few days ago, He'emanti ki adabe. He'emanti ki adabe. What does that mean? He'emanti, I believed. I believed because I spoke. He says the more that we speak about emunah, the more that we say, everything's from Hashem. Whatever is happening right now is meant to be. For Hashem, we need your help right now. Hashem, we don't know why this is happening. The more that we speak about Hashem, the more we strengthen our emunah. Manti ki adaber. Okay. Let's go on towards the end of the parasha. Towards the end of the parasha, Yitzchak and Yaakov, Yitzchak's getting old. Yaakov is preparing. Esau is preparing for the bracha. He's sent out of the home. What happens? Yaakov is brought in by his mother. He wears big day Esav, and he goes before him. to get the brachos. As we say, the rest is history. Yaakov gets his brachos, Esav comes in, and he's very, very angry. And the following, 2 points. Number one is, Yitzchak says something is very off over here. And he says, Hakol kol Yaakov, hayadayim yedei Esav. The voice is the voice of Yaakov, but the hands feel like Esav. Yaakov is about the voice. Esav is about the hands. Says Chazal, Bisman shenishma kol Yaakov bebat dekinesios umidrashos ein hayadayim yidei Esav sholtos. When the voice of Yaakov is heard in the shuls and the batei medrash around the world, strong, proud, loud voice, then the hands of Esav cannot work. It's not effective. The Vilna Gaon says you see that in the pasuk. Hakol kol Yaakov is not spelled the same way. The first kol is missing a vav. Kol should be spelled kuf vav lamed. The first one's missing a vav, and the second one has a vav. To teach you that if the vav is missing, if the voice is not strong, is not proud, is not, you know, happy, elated to learn Torah, to come to shul, then the Yadayim Yedei Esav will definitely take over. The Baal HaTurim writes that you see a difference here. Yadayim can only affect as far as the hand can go. A kol goes much further than that. Yedei Esav only affect the people around them. The kol Yaakov can send packages, can daven, can learn for people all over the world. All over the world. Fundamentally different than Yedei Esav. Yes, you had a question?
Yeah.
It's a question.
How do we learn the details from Yaakov? Right? He basically blackmailed Yedei Esav to get the color, and then he fools his father, to get the brothels. It's just bad character trick.
Yes, and what's up? He's supposed to stand for MS, right?
Yaakov is MS. Yaakov, Titain MS Liakov. Yaakov is the Midah of MS. So if Yaakov is the Midah of MS, how can it be that we see that he tricked his brother into giving him the bracha? Get the bechora and then get the bracha subsequent. And seems like he lied to his father. So each person, if you can look at the avos, each av is always challenged in the midah that they represent. Avraham is chesed. He's challenged in the midah of chesed. Does he daven for Sodom? Does he not daven for Sodom? Does he let everybody into his home? Where is he challenged? Who does he kick out of his house? Yishmael is removed from his home, even though Avraham had a note, it was a judgment-free zone in his house. In that midah that he's challenging, he is going to be tested. So Yaakov is tested in the same way, teaching us that not always do you follow that midah. Sometimes we need to be reactive to the situation that we're in, and to understand what is going on. And sometimes that means that even though we live an emistic life, sometimes there are opportunities where we don't need to be emistic. It's a very slippery slope. The Gemara here writes two things. Number one, Yaakov was careful about how to word it. He said, Hine Anochi. That's Rabbi Yudin's classic quaff at this moment. And he made a pregnant pause between those two lines over here. Many of the Rishonim, in terms of selling the Bechora, point out the way that Yaakov phrased it was that he said it in a way that Esav knew what was going on. and that he sold it in a way that Esav really should have known what was going on over there.
Esav could have claimed that he sold it under the rest, because he said, you know, if I don't eat something, I'm going to die. So it's not a valid sale.
Right, you sell something under the rest. So, yeah, a lot of Rishonim address that from a halachic perspective, why that was okay. Others also point out that here Rivka was dictating the situation, orchestrating the situation, and she had Nevuah. And the reason why Yaakov went through with this was because of the Nevuah that she had. We also need to bear in mind that this decision created a lot of problems. Even if you argue that what Yaakov did was correct, which you debate every single year. Did he lie? Did he not lie? And even if he didn't lie, was it still the right decision to make? And maybe it needed to happen, but it created other situations as a result. Rabbi Foreman points out that Yaakov tricked his father with two things, with the coat and with goats. Goats and goats. He gave him two goats that he has Esau for, and he put on the coat. Later in history, Yosef is thrown into a pit. The brothers come back to Yaakov and say Yosef was killed. How do they trick him? With a coat and with goat's blood. Goats and goats. They come back to bite you. When you do something that, right or wrong, our actions have ramifications. Rivka also says to her, says to Yaakov, don't worry about anything. If your father curses you, Alai kilascha b'ni. The curse is going to be on me. Alai. Alai, ayin lamed yud. The Vilna Gaon points out over there that ayin lamed yud is really an acronym for three enemies that are going to be a result of this act. What are the three enemies? Esav, Lavan, and Yud Yishmael. There are three types of enemies that the Jewish people continuously have in their history because of who we are, and maybe we have to, and our actions. Esav, Lavan, and Yishmael.
Two or three
moments. Yeah.
Just from the surface, you're saying that Yitzchak's passive nature, why does he favor Esav as the Ish Tzayid? It doesn't seem to make sense. Just from the beginning there of the parsha, does that make sense? Like Rivka favors Yaakov, but as a passive nature kind of guy, like why would he go after somebody or favor somebody that's a hunter?
And also the opposite of him.
And the right, opposites attract, I don't know.
Opposite. It could be opposites attract. It also could be that what Esav was asking for, what Yitzhak wanted from Esav was that he always held that hope for his son. He knew Yaakov was going to be okay, but he held that hope for him. So he stayed closer to him. You think about it, if you have the schools to have children, sometimes parents stay closer to the children that are like maybe push them away more, and you think about them more. They occupy your mind a lot more than the easier ones, because you want as much as you can to keep them close. So the Kedusha Slavi writes Kitzai Befiv that he wanted to keep him close. Ultimately, it didn't work out well in that situation, and maybe he was right, maybe he was wrong. Not to talk about it in terms of parenting. But he ultimately tried his best with Esav, and he did his best, and you know what? It still didn't work. It still didn't work. But he tried his best.
Rabbi, you have a simple situation, maybe like Yishmael, and they send it. So is the force here.
So the Ramban writes explicitly. They're getting rid of Yishmael. The Ramban writes explicitly. Ramban, 1200s, writes, this is why Yishmael, Islam hates us. This is why they hate us. They removed us. I didn't develop this further. I just heard it on a shir, like for 5 minutes. And then my kid said, please play Amazon music. But the Rabbi David Katz is a rabbi in Baltimore. He's a big historian and a big Talmid Chacham. If you want to, you guys have a connection, you know? You know, Sharon? Yeah, he's okay. So he has a podcast. It's very, very fascinating. It's always random. It's not like he has like Syria. It's very, and he makes the following thought. I didn't listen to the rest of it. He says that Yishmael has a father problem because they're jealous of Yitzchak because Avraham, they got all the attention from Abba. He says that Esav is not, it's not, the anger is not directed towards Yitzchak. The anger is directed towards Yaakov, that it's a brother problem. And I'm not a psychologist, speak to my wife, but like there's practical differences here between those two relationships, the type of anger, how it plays itself out, you know, and can they ever reconcile? Yaakov and Esav can reconcile, and there are moments in history where there is reconciliation. For example, Yishmael and Avraham, it's much harder. When you're fighting over the attention of the father, it's very, very different than when you're angry and you're trying to like kill your brother. It's a very different type of relationship there in terms of how that plays out, and we see it play out through our history. Yeah.
Is Sarah punished for her role?
Is she punished?
Right, the reason I'm asking that, if she is, right, is Rivka punished over here for what she did? And the deception of Sarah.
If they are, we don't see it. We don't see that here. Simple pasuk says that Hashem says, Avram, listen to Sarah.
Is there anything there that says, it's not fairish, that says that Sarah was punished for her?
Sarah's children are punished. Right. Listen, Sarah, the greatest way to punish them is through the children. Yishmael has been an aggressor for us forever. There are certain breaks in history, but it's been like that for a very long time. Okay, wish everybody a wonderful Shabbos.
Maybe.